John 6. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum.
Thank you very much, Charlotte, for reading for us. It'd be helpful if you keep that little bit of John 6 in front of you. Welcome again, and a very happy Good Friday to you. And isn't it wonderful that we can all get together like this and celebrate Jesus dying? Woohoo! Nothing like a good old-fashioned execution to get us all in the mood for a party. I mean, what more excuse do you need for an extra bank holiday than somebody dying in absolutely gut-wrenching agony on a cross? Phil introduced the meeting today by saying that Good Friday really is good. Well, let me ask, what on earth is good about Good Friday? And I don't just mean in the sense that we have to have Good Friday if we want to get to Easter Sunday, and Easter Sunday is what the eggs are all about. I mean, is there something about Jesus' death on the cross which in and of itself is good news? That in and of itself is so significant that it is worth taking an entire day of the year just to remember. So amazing that it is news worth spreading to the entire world. So important, in fact, that it is news worth amending the whole calendar of history to reflect. And that's the issue. I want us to spend a few minutes thinking about that now. And we're going to do that by thinking, by hearing from Jesus himself tell us all about Good Friday in those verses from John 6. These are words from John's Gospel, just like the earlier readings we had. John was Jesus Christ's best mate, and he wrote up his Gospel as a sort of eyewitness biography to the life of Jesus. Although he tells us himself in the Gospel that it's a biography with a purpose. It's not just a piece of kind of popular work that we might read just out of idle curiosity to find out what Jesus was like, what his hobbies were, that sort of thing. No, John wants us to believe what he believed. John, who saw him as up close and personal as anyone, what he was totally convinced of, that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we might have life forever. And in this kind of biography with a purpose, John is particularly interested, actually, in Easter. In fact, about half of John's Gospel, if you read right the way through it, takes place during the Easter week, which is pretty remarkable as biographies go. You decide to write up the life of your best mate. He had a pretty remarkable career as things went. Actually, he went around and did and said some pretty extraordinary things during his life. And yet you decide to dedicate half of all your material to just one week, and in particular to his death, bits of which we've had this morning. But why? Why do you do that? Well, I don't know if you noticed in the reading, but it's got to do with eating. And it's great that actually we get to do a little bit of that together today after the service. Lisa and Elizabeth and Bethany yesterday made some homemade hot cross buns. My wife was happy to act as tester this morning, and she can confirm that they are well worth sampling at the end of the service. I don't know if you've had any hot cross buns before today, though, this Easter period. Did you know that we'd be in real trouble, actually, if you'd done that during the reign of Elizabeth I rather than during the reign of Elizabeth II? While Elizabeth I was queen, it was made illegal to eat hot cross buns on any days that weren't major religious festivals. So Good Friday and Easter Sunday you'd been okay. I guess you'd have been okay at Christmas. I don't know who was baking hot cross buns at Christmas. But anything other than that, you'd have been banged to rights. The people of the late 1500s would have been very jealous of all of us just popping down to the supermarket and buying such an illicit good willy-nilly during the past month. I hope you feel privileged. But the bit that we've just had from John's Gospel, that is all about eating as well. And actually, eating during a major religious festival. So that would have been okay. Only here, the religious festival is the Jewish festival of Passover. That's when these words are spoken. And the bread that is being eaten is a person. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." It's a pretty strange thing to say. It's a pretty strange reading, actually. I don't know if you thought that as Charlotte read it. The people who were there at the time, they clearly thought it was pretty odd. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? All this talk of eating flesh and drinking blood, it's more like an excerpt from a Twilight novel or a Bram Stoker film than it is a little bit of the Bible to be thinking about on Easter. So what is it all about? Well, the answer is Good Friday. That is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about his own death on the cross, which is amazing because he's speaking a year before the events of that first Easter even took place. As we heard in our earlier reading, the events that we celebrated Easter took place on Passover, but not this one, not the one that Jesus is speaking on in John chapter 6, the Passover that takes place a year after this one. Good Friday, the very first Easter, was not a surprise to Jesus. The events of Jesus' death were not a tragic mistake. They were not events spiraling out of Jesus' control. They were not the results of a tragic and unforeseen betrayal by Judas Iscariot. No, they were all part of the plan, all part of God's plan, all part of Jesus' plan to give to people himself, his own flesh and blood. When he speaks of giving his flesh and blood in these verses, he is speaking of giving himself up to have his flesh torn by the nails, to have his blood shed as he is whipped and beaten, as the crown of thorns is pushed onto his head, and to have his life taken from him as he is crucified on the cross, just as we heard in John 19. But if he's talking about the cross, then what does he mean when he talks about feeding on his flesh and drinking his blood? Is this Jesus advocating some sort of bizarre cannibalistic ritual Should you be nervous if I ask for a volunteer at this point in the service? No. No more so is Jesus talking literally here than he's talking literally when in suggesting that he's made of flour and yeast and has been slow baked when he says that he is the bread of life. And Jesus is speaking in graphic picture language about the need for people, all people, actually, to put their trust in him and in his death on the cross for their own life. These words of Jesus come in the midst of a discussion with a crowd that's been all about food in John chapter 6. This is the very same crowd, the people that Jesus is talking to here, actually, that were famously fed at the feeding of the 5,000. These are people that are very interested in food. In fact, what they basically want Jesus to do here is give them more bread. That is what they're after. But Jesus says there's a real problem with the bread that these guys want. And it's the same problem that all food has. You'll eat some hot cross buns this morning, I hope, and then I guess you'll head off and have some delicious lunch somewhere. You'll probably scoff a few Easter eggs over the next few days. A, because they're delicious, but B, because you believe that food gives you some sort of nourishment. You believe it's a good idea to eat lunch and that sort of thing, because you trust that it will get you through the next few hours. Well, so Jesus says, you have to trust in me. You have to believe me when I tell you that my dying on the cross is the only thing that can keep you going. And not just for a few hours, but forever. Because as Jesus here explains the significance of the first Easter, before it's even happened, he tells us why Good Friday is a cause for celebration. And he tells us if we're not celebrating, why actually we need to stop and take Good Friday very seriously indeed. Why it is more than just chocolate bunnies and chicks. Why, in fact, Good Friday is the best Friday that there has ever been. Because for us, the result of feeding on Jesus in his death is our eternal life. The problem with everything else that you can ever eat is that it only has very fleeting benefits. Jesus points that out here in verses 49 and in verse 58. What happens when you just eat normal bread, like the Jews had done in the wilderness? Well, eventually, you die. How many hot cross buns do you think you would have to eat to live forever? And that's obviously a ridiculous question. You might say a more sensible question is, how many hot cross buns can I eat before it kills me? Though again, maybe that's more of an Easter egg issue for most of us. But no amount of food can keep you alive forever. Jesus says that's not just true of physical food, actually, but of everything in this life. No amount of money, no amount of love, no amount of success, happiness, pleasure, power can ever keep us alive forever. So much of what we strive for in life is so horribly temporary. So many of the dreams that we have pass so quickly. So many of the memories fade so fast. So many of the things and so many of the people that we love are tragically gone much too soon. I guess holiday times like this are when we often feel that most acutely, actually. And so we long for something more. Jesus says, feed on me. Trust in my death on the cross for you. Trust, as we've been singing about, trust me to bear the punishment for your sin, for your rejection of God, and you will have eternal life. In fact, he says that lots. My mum used to say that education is repetition, to prove her point. She said it over and over again. And here I am quoting it to you, so clearly the theory works. Well, if you ask Jesus, "Jesus, I want you to teach me the significance of Good Friday," so that I don't forget it. Repetition is where Jesus goes. I am the bread of life. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Get the gist? Jesus goes on and on about it because it is that important. This is why Easter is such a big deal. This is why Good Friday is so good. Because it is the cross. It is Jesus giving us his own flesh and blood that makes it possible for people like us, people who are destined for nothing but death apart from God, to have the chance to have life forever. You might say, well, why should we take him at all seriously when he says that? Surely all this talk about eternal life, well, that is just as bonkers as talking about people eating him. And yes, of course it is. Because everyone who has ever lived has died. And there is no evidence that any of them, having done so, have ever gone on to do much else after that. Until that is, come back on Sunday. So let me close by asking you, what are you going to eat this year? Will we keep merely feeding on things which cannot last and which will leave us hungry? All of us, whether we're Christian or not, find it only natural to chase after that kind of food. So immediate and yet so unsatisfying. Or will we come this Easter time and feed on Jesus, on his body given up for us on the cross, on his blood shed, on that first awful and yet most wonderful Good Friday? Will we come again to him, come back to the cross, and put our trust in him alone as the one who by his death gives us eternal life? Let me say for you this morning, if that is not yet you, I hope the offer of eternal life is one that at the very least you would want to investigate. We love to help people do that here at Euston Church. Let me tell you, going away and getting a copy of John's Gospel and reading that would be a great place to start. Come and grab me or Phil at the end. We'd love for one of the group here at Euston Church to read through John's Gospel or something like that with you. Come back to us here at church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. It is too important, it is too valuable a thing to simply let pass by. It is the very best of Fridays. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that the cross is no mistake. We thank you that the cross is no meaningless martyrdom. But that the cross is our source of eternal life. We thank you that the Lord Jesus was prepared to give himself, his own flesh and blood, to take the punishment that we deserve, to die the death that we deserve, that we might have his life forever. We pray this in his name. Amen.